Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. Welcome back. This is the Are You Spirited podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. They appreciate it. We appreciate it. So June 28th, Monday. Good morning, good morning. So this is going to be an interesting podcast. My guest today, Damian Smith. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. So you reached out to me, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and you'd been to the Float Center, Urban Float, and you floated, and you had an awakening, and you said that this usually happens every time you float. You relax your brain, and you come up with great ideas, or get excited about ideas, maybe is a better way to say it.
I'd say so.
And you reached out to me, Carlos, of course, over at Urban Float. We love them. Been a sponsor of the podcast. We love those guys. Had mentioned to you about coming on the podcast. He had mentioned to me that he had met a guy that he had gotten like one word in, and the guy that he had spoken with basically had taken all the rest of the words. So it sounded like it was you.
That was definitely me.
It was definitely you. And so you'd reached out. I reached out to him, told him you'd call me. So yada, yada, yada. Here we are. Good morning. So let's get into your story. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. So because that will definitely happen, if you have something to say, please don't hesitate. I don't believe there's any such thing as a bad interruption. So, like, you know, just feel free to talk.
My first interruption is lift up the mic a little bit.
Dang, that was fast.
Yeah, okay. That's a good interruption.
Yeah, does it sound better?
That's good.
Yep, okay. So let's see here. So the first things first is this whole thing that we're talking about is... I'd say psychedelics, or what it is to do anything that would open your mind generally. And I don't want to just section that off to psychedelics, because as I found out, it works a little differently than that. Well, at least I think so.
Sure.
So the first rule that one must understand about anything is that you have to, whatever work you put into this world and yourself is what you're going to get out of any other world or place of. So whether that place be your dreams, enlightenment, or being high, any of those three places, right? They're all places that, like, when you dream, you've dreamed of insane things. Like, some things people would argue are not possible in their dreams.
Right.
Same thing to be said when people are high. And the same thing to be said when people have an enlightened feeling. Some see God. Enlightening feelings can happen during death, all that kind of stuff. All them good covers. So I think before getting into what happened, I think the first stage is to who am I? I think that would be a good place to start.
That's a great question. Who are we?
Yeah.
Yes.
So who I am in particular is, let's see, where do I start here? So... at a very young age, I decided that I wanted to change the world. Now, I didn't know what that entailed. I only said the words. As I got older, I didn't abandon that goal. I just learned that it might not be as easy or as fun as I initially thought it would be.
Okay, so here, first interruption. Here we go.
Yeah.
So what are we changing? Because you decided this early on.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, because even at 52 is what I am at now, the world has constantly changed for me. The way I look at it, the way I participate in it, the way all aspects of the world for me, really. I definitely, as a young person, didn't feel like there was an issue, right? I mean, it seemed, you know, I didn't know anything about it. As I've gotten older, the way I look at it is completely different. So I guess my question is it hard as a young person to figure out that the world needs changing?
Yes. That came in the form of not the best childhood. So,
well, my buddy Matt used to always say, I used to say, how's life treating you? And he goes, life's treating me fine. It's how I treat life. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not sure, and I'm not saying you are, but, you know, I've met people that love to blame the world, and I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying people in general, and, you know, why me, right? Yeah, no accountability, a victim of this world, right? Mm-hmm. And so I guess changing the world or changing how we look at the world, I guess is my question.
Well, if you're going to, so every conversation can always reach a loophole.
Loophole.
Okay. Or if you would like to say, to make it easier, it can be an infinite conversation. And I have to make sure that those conversations don't occur, period. So when you asked, so go ahead and ask your question again if you could.
Are we trying to change the world, or are we trying to change how we look at the world?
Okay. So I'd say the answer to that question would be both.
Sure.
Plain and simple, you know? So now we have a couple things here. So we marked on what makes me, what makes a person look at the world or wanting to change it at young, and I said the childhood, so we could go back to that subject. Or we can touch on the thing that you said, your participation in changing society or realizing it. You know, we can go either one of those subjects.
I'm here. With you, brother. First of all, I love that you're young, and I love that you're just full of thought. And I also don't want to like knock you off your path of trying to explain your story.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't want to throw weird questions. Yeah. Like, so you go. I'm listening. I love it.
So I didn't have the best childhood, but I definitely didn't have the worst, which is what got me through my childhood. Many times, probably just because of school, I was like, no matter how bad I feel it is, I'm not some child in a place having to steal for my food, and then one day my village gets raided and I get killed.
Right.
Never knowing what happiness was, or a TV show, or even thoughts beyond the death that I seeked and the hunger that I felt from the start.
Right.
I thought about that young. Now, how did I think about that young? Why did I use that to cope? That's a great question, and honestly, I don't have all the answers yet. You know, that is a very young thought to have at a young age, or a very old thought to have at a young age, very different type of thinking. Basically, I'll skip all the details because my life young story isn't that important, I feel like, as far as this whole thing is concerned. The important part is it wasn't the best. And because it wasn't the best, I was faced with the question is it worth existing? That was what I was faced with. Like, is it better off that I die than to have ever existed? Now, again, I know that life was worse around me, so it was hard to say yes to that for many reasons. When contemplating suicide, now, what was I? Again, very young. I mean, I got to be 8 or something, you know, or something like that, or maybe a little older. Definitely not 10 yet. And I'm wondering who would be affected? Like, if I'm going to die, is other people going to make it their fault? Because if I want to die, I wanted to die. Not have my father or mother or people blame that they didn't do enough. Right. So then, well, that eliminated the problem, right?
Well, isn't that sort of a self-centered feeling? That isn't it kind of like, because, I mean, I think we've all thought about, like,
mm-hmm.
if I would just, you know, I could kill myself and you'll all see, you know, how important I was and you'll pay for this. And, you know, I mean, and I'm not going to get into a whole bunch of addiction stuff, but there was periods of my life where I was deep in addiction, and contemplating suicide was happening all the time, but it wasn't because I wanted to die. I wanted everybody to see how awesome I was and what a big hole I was going to leave when I left.
That's funny.
And the only reason I didn't is because I was going to miss all the wonderful things fucking said about me. So it's a trip.
So I was too young to have. I'm not saying that I wouldn't have, but it wasn't. It didn't come out of being young and having only the experiences I had. I didn't have any faith in what I could be. So I wasn't the people I thought about. I just didn't want people to be sad. I was a self-blamer. You have two types of kids when they get a. You have more than two types. That's not true. But there are two types. You can either be a self-blamer or you can get angry that you were beaten. You know, that you can get mad at your father. You can make it, you know. And then there's all in-betweens. But those are two pretty common ones. I was a self-blamer. It was my fault. Why wasn't I doing enough? Why didn't they love me? What didn't I do? Right? Because I would do it. Whatever it was, I would do it. But it was past me. You know, my parents got together young. They split young. And I think I was just... That's I don't want to put that on the air, but they were young, and I just believe that she might have seen my father in me, and I just got the brunt of that. I didn't know that at the time, though. I thought I was doing something. Right. I thought I was too weird. I thought I didn't, you know. I mean, one time I remember, and it was crazy. Counselors. I had this first counselor. She was awesome. Her name was Miss Lewis. She ended up working for the state. Worst thing that ever happened to me. You know, she got a job at the state. So she had to leave the school. Yeah. And it really sucked because I could just do whatever. You know, I like to scribble when I was young. And then whatever that scribble came out to be, I'd put an eye somewhere and I'd make a creature out of it. Thought that was awesome. Just whatever came on the page.
Right.
It was really cool. And I was able to do that with her. Well, eventually she left and that devastated me. I didn't want to go to any counselors anytime soon. Well, eventually one made their way in and wanted to see me. Her name was Miss Helping or something, I don't remember. And so we talked. Kid or not, the last thing you should do when talking to a child, when you don't know what they're talking about, right? So I remember exactly what I said, not that I knew what it meant back then, but I was talking about two paths and dark clouds and all that stuff. That was basically what it came down to. Well, she told my mother. She told my mother that she didn't know what was going on. I guess she wanted to get a better look into my mind by asking her. So I came home and was met with violence because actually I was already home. I believe I was playing a video game. She came home from work and then I was met with that. And she said, and she just started wailing on me and said, what the f- is two things? Like, what is two roads and two clouds? What are you talking about? Don't say weird that. Don't do that, right? I didn't. Like, you know, I didn't even know what I was saying, let alone gonna explain it to my mother.
Right.
I was just hurt that counselor did what she shouldn't have done, which was violate my trust, violate a kid's trust, because you shouldn't violate anybody's trust. But violating a kid's trust so young, that sets them up to not trust people long term. Now, go ahead.
And I was going to, you know, it is a trip, man, being a kid. It's a trip being a parent. I know as a parent of three kids, and you just met my daughter, it is tough. And, you know, and I'm not... You know, I never, you know, violence is clearly off the table. You know, you don't want to beat your children, obviously. But, you know, my son last night, it was funny. He's 15 and he goes, and I said, they got home and he goes, are you hungry? And I asked him, I go, are you hungry? And he goes, no, we're not. And I just kind of turned away and he goes, oh, I see that. I see that made you sad. So I'll take something to eat. Like he felt like I was bummed out that I couldn't feed him, make him some food. So he was willing to eat. Because I look sad, and I go, no, I'm not. I'm not sad. I was just turning my face to look at something else. So, it's a weird dance that goes on and
it isn't. Sometimes the kid that you get, it's funny to say dealt, but since it's all random and people, you know, have kids with no precision, you don't know what kid you're going to get. So the funny part is all the experience that you derived in your entire world could not help a single thing with the kid that you have in front of you, just because that can turn out like that. That's how genes work.
Well, as a parent of three, I don't believe kids are no different than adults. They just lack experience.
That's actually very good to think at. That's a very mature thought.
That's how generally I feel about my kids. My kids can come to me with thoughts and ideas. And I'm like, damn, that's a fucking good idea.
That's smart. That's very smart of you.
Yeah, so I have a great relationship. You know, I have to make sure they don't catch on fire and, you know, break shit off of their body. But, you know, besides that, they're just small adults lacking, you know, experience.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. One of the things I'd like to, I haven't stated yet, first for the people listening. One, I'm 27, and for the record, I'm at peace with my mother, and I think she's at peace with me now. Now, with that being said, is we're not on talking terms, we're not talking terms. Meaning that, as of just, I think, two times, as in last year and the year before, She called me to babysit my sisters. I mean, I don't go out of my way to call her, but not because of any spite. I just am doing things with my life. Mm-hmm. And we just don't have much to talk about, because when we do, you know, usually gets dark on her end. You know, she starts talking about how she was sorry and or that I was a bad kid. And I just easily go, I'm sorry and or I forgive you, whatever one you need. Like, that's what I say every single time. I'm sorry and or I forgive you. Like, you can take it. And eventually I think that got through to her, because I don't get calls in any portion of the night now. Like sometimes she'd call me random and she'd be upset. And I'm like, I'm not upset with the way the situation is. I love who I am. So therefore I love my circumstances. I don't doubt, like, every single thing that happened to me to make me. So I wouldn't change a single thing for the world. So you have nothing to be sorry for, or I forgive you.
But isn't there also, like, reactions that you can do that also make you?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, it's funny because, you remind me a lot of myself as a kid, you know, as a young person. I was adopted. My actual parents got rid of me. They didn't want me. So I was picked by some other, my parents that I have today. My mom passed, but, you know, they handpicked me. But, you know, it was a challenge all through growing up, you know, the battles and, you know, ditching school. And I remember being picked on the school bus. And my dad came to the bus stop and he's like, you know, why don't you guys all come down to the house and we'll, you know, make burgers and stuff. Like, he was him trying to help my situation out. But in my world, it just blew my world up, right? To try to mend fences with bullies is a bad move, honestly, by parents. But, you know, just this constant struggle and the way I felt about my parents and how I feel about my parents today. You know, at my parents, my dad's 82, and there was just him and I went back and forth all the time. And at some point, I had to find the humility to say, you know what? It's more important to me that we have this time, the best time that we can have, and move on, because our time is coming short. And this took like years for me to get to a point where I could to be humble enough to say, you know what? It doesn't matter who's wrong or right. We only got a little bit of time left. Let's try to make the best of it. And since then, we have a great relationship. But that humble moment, that decision, that opposite of what I would have wanted to do, which is, fuck you, Dad, I'm out of here, you asshole, and never talk to him again. But that would have made my life a whole different life as well. So
it took me a lot longer to do that with my dad than my mom. But we got there too. But honestly, that was within the last 2 to 3 years. It was a lot more difficult. He got in a car accident very young. Three people died in that car accident. And he had to start from scratch. Wow. So it was like a 16-year-old raising a 16-year-old. Like that, we were close. If you take away the years he lost, we were close to the same age.
And that's a good point, because I'm an older parent. You know, my wife and I had kids late. So, you know, I have a 9-year-old and I'm 52.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So
yeah,
I couldn't imagine, you know, being 15.
My dad had his first kid at 14.
Yeah, so that, I mean,
I was not his first kid, but
still lacking experience, right?
Yeah. So a couple things. One, the reason why I came to terms with this, I'd say sooner than most, because a lot of people's parent acceptance is like the last thing on the list. I mean, all the way up until you're watching them die on the bed in front of you. Mm. I talked to older people a lot. Actually, I talked to anybody and everyone as a child. I didn't lack thereof talking. And what I did was I just asked what people did and took it seriously on how it turned out.
Right.
So basically, if I talked to 10 people, right, and they did heroin, I'd be like, how'd that turn out? And if they all said, none of their stories ended with, well, I did heroin and now I have a very happy life. Well, if it didn't end with that, or they're still doing it, right? So some of them might have said they started there, but then they quit it, and then they had a big epiphany, and then they changed, right? But none of them ever said, and I'm still doing it, I'm still going strong, right? Like, with a happy, positive. So it was pretty easy for me to go, no. Right? No one ever...
Why heroin? Why not, like, donuts?
That's just one of the ones I started with because I was a kid. I was easy. Everybody called it bad, so it was an easy conversation to start with.
Well, the reason, because heroin never turns out well.
No, yeah, but as a kid, you don't know until you know.
Well, that's true.
So this is when I was a kid. This wasn't when I got older, right? I was just a kid trying to establish a foundation, a bedrock, if you will.
Okay.
Right? Just because everyone said it was bad and was an easy one doesn't mean they were right. You see what I'm saying? Because if I would have went with who raised me, I would have never went down the psychedelic path because they would have said it was dumb. So I had to make sure I established everything for myself with the world around me. That just seemed like an important thing. To your question to reaction, are you a reaction to things? I didn't really get the breakdown of that, but either way, the answer to that would be yes, no, and we don't know. One, we don't. We can all believe whatever we want. You can be a predeterminist. You can be one. You can believe you have your own sense of free will. You can believe anything you want. At the end of the day, we don't actually have the solid proof for any of it, one way or the other. No one proved anything one way or the other, which means I have to be proud of my circumstances as if they were designed by fate, and I have to be proud of my circumstances as if they were my own actions. In either sense, I have to respect that because I don't know the real answer, if there is even a real answer, and I have to be okay with that too, that there might not be a solid answer.
Yeah, you can't be a victim of that shit.
Exactly right. So let's get back on, those were good things, but let's get back on track from up here. So
back on track.
See if I can skip some stuff, get to the spirit part.
Well, I like, you know, and I love this stuff. I love this kind of thinking. But, you know, one of the things as a person that's, you know, sober, I'm a sober person today, you know, but you talk about like heroin and the, you know, how's that working out for you? But, you know, there's a lot of people that struggle with money, right? With sex.
Yes.
With food. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have people, and it's always about this audience that we drag along with us, right? We can only perform in this, whatever it is we do, as long as we have an audience, right? As long as people are like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, brushing the hair out of our eyes when we overdose or brushing the hair out of our eyes when we eat too many donuts. We have this group of people that kind of support us. Like, it's okay. You know, people, the one thing about heroin is you either, you're a junkie or you die, right? It's just, it's pretty cut and dry. But there's, when people are on food, you know, it's a struggle because what's donuts, right? We don't judge people because they eat too many donuts. But they can have the same life, miserable existence because they're full of shame and guilt because of this behavior that usually they want to change, which is, I wish I could stop eating these donuts, right?
It's funny that you say donuts because I stopped eating donuts because, you know, they can definitely be a problem.
Well, donuts don't get you put in jail.
Now, with this being said, there's a couple things there. You made heroin a little bit more cut and dry than it needs to be. Nothing is cut and dry. Here's the thing. Heroin has its place in society, and it's the reason why it's looked at the way it's looked at. So, again, I never stop thinking on anything. Just because as a child I realized that all those people did suffer from heroin didn't make it cut and dry yet. There's still a whole history. There is the England trying to get the China addicted to opiates so that they could sell it to them, which actually worked, and then there's where it came from beforehand.
I think let's not get it confused because, you know, we have an epidemic of people dying on fentanyl.
Yeah. Yes.
So, there are, before fentanyl showed up, there was people that lived and actively, you know, went through life a heroin addict.
Yes.
But they were on the opiate heroin, not opiate heroin that's been cut with fentanyl because they want to stretch the heroin, and that's. Because the fentanyl is what's fucking killing people.
I gotcha.
But I'm not saying everybody go do heroin.
No, you're good. And then you were right about the. I'll just go ahead and I was just like the concede points of things. Any struggle is hard to get out of for any individual when you have enablers. And earlier you were just talking about how
audience.
You know, an audience. You called them an audience, and they can be called enablers. You know, either way, and you're not wrong. Of course, you know, even the person that is extremely obese and they need to lose weight. Right now, I'm not talking about. Proud and fat, right? I'm just talking about obese to the point where it isn't right. If they're on a stream though, and then they're eating every
day.
That's
a funny term, proud and fat.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's there's an enabler behind that.
I think that it's a. I just don't want to go down that road right now. That's basically it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of confusing things. You know, Oprah's proud and fat, and then she loses the weight. You know, Adele is proud and fat, then she loses the weight. I don't know where to go. Like, are they proud or fat, or do you want to lose the weight? I don't know where to go here. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just not going to touch
It's such a sad situation because you have feelings.
Yeah.
Someone wrote to me and said, how do you help somebody that is fat understand that they're fat? I said, saw halfway through one of the legs in a chair. Let him sit on it in front of 20 people and have it crash to the ground, and nothing changes a life like shame and guilt, right?
You're not. It's definitely one motivator.
It's definitely one.
It's a
motivator.
Good, a strong one. A strong. Every both extremes are very strong. So,
most of my big changes in my life were usually around shame and guilt. I either hurt somebody in my family, I wrecked a car. I got my ass kicked. There was always some sort of shame and guilt before I came crawling back going, I'm ready. I'm sorry. I'll change. Yada, yada.
So I'd say the fear of death and or just fear. And then that would be one of the strongest motivators, those two, and in that direction. I don't think you can find two stronger motivators in the direction of, because those two encompass what would be to be shame. These two definitely are the strongest motivators that you can get, fear and death. And then the opposite regard, that's in the negative. In the positive, one of the strongest motivators, and I don't know one stronger than this, if you get it to motivate you, divinity or a divineness. You get motivated by that. I'm not saying that it's the right thing to do, especially in this world, to a degree with my premise on religion. The religion's in play. You definitely can get real strong real fast. You know what I'm saying? You can also go down the road of pride and believe your way is the only right way. It's a very strong motivator. Both sides are.
Well, people don't, I guess people maybe change their life because they're afraid of death. But, if you give somebody heroin, unfortunately, but, tell them, hey, man, you can't do this. You may die. But you also may end up in Walmart with your pants off, passed out in the aisle. And now that is the reason to get sober.
So and that would be the shame. But
that's shame.
Yes, but now heroin actually doesn't actually cause the illusion of death, or the actuality of death. Yes, people know it isn't good for you, and yes, it is a fact that it can kill you. But eating incorrectly on a long period of time can kill you. Right. Heroin, once you do, I actually had a friend. I had a friend. We were kids. He stayed 2 summers with me, the entire 2 summers. Only one day, I think, he, didn't stay with me. Obviously, he probably got clothes here and there. And he told me why he stayed with me, actually. I'll share this since it is actually connected to the whole thing in a sense. One day, we were in the pool, and he said, hey, Damien, I want to tell you something. I said, yeah, what's up, man? He said, I want you to promise me you're not going to laugh. I said, dude, I'm not going to laugh, man. Just tell me. He said, okay. Well, I can see ghosts. And I was excited. Actually, my first reaction was not, I don't know why I would have laughed at him. I was like, no, really? And he stopped me. He stopped me right dead in my tracks. He said, stop. Stop it. Just let me finish my sentence. I said, okay, man. He said, I don't like it. He said, in the middle of the night, I can hear them talking. I can hear women asking where their babies are. And there's shadow figures that scare them around every bend and all that stuff. And he said, and I said, well, okay, why are you telling me all this? He said, well, the reason why I've stayed these 2 summers with you, because, well, we'll get into this too, but he said, is because nothing happens when I'm around you. So now, with my other friends, we had the running joke that my power is to make things boring. Because that kind of sucks, right? Now, that's only one experience. That's one guy claiming something and another guy just listening. No, I was a gullible kid. I had no reason to distrust people. I didn't think that was fun. So, of course, I went and believed that that's what the case was. Well, it gets interesting because now he hangs out with another one of my friends. Now, this friend is very interesting. He's the quiet type. Doesn't talk, doesn't share his experiences all that much, does whatever he wants. Well, they hang out, unbeknownst to me, when they are playing Call of Duty, one of the older ones with zombies in it. I don't play much video games. Their kill count gets to 666. When it does, the game freezes and his games fall over. Now, my friend's a weirdo, the one I was just talking about, my quiet one. When that guy leaves, he constantly restacks those video games to get the same result to happen twice. Just because he doesn't understand what happened, right?
Right.
Now, with this all being said, I want to note before I continue with the story, this man still isn't 100% sold ghosts are real, which you would think if the things that happened to him happened to you, you would be sold. But this guy is something else. So, now, again, I don't know this meeting still happened, and I don't know the 666 story. I find this out all later. So now I call this friend, the silent friend, and I go, hey, I'm heading over. And he said, okay. I said, oh, by the way, Zach's with me. And he said, oh, yeah, okay, that's cool. I said, whoa, what was the for? He said, no, never mind, you're fine, come over. I said, no, what was the for? He said, seriously, it doesn't matter, you can come over. I said, bro. He said, okay, I wasn't going to say anything. But 2 months ago, when he was here, my cabinet's open. Now, I'm not mad that my cabinet's open. I'm mad that whatever opened my cabinets didn't close my cabinets. Promise you that is what he said. First of all, I'm freaking out because, one, I'm like, you're an idiot, and it's so, you're such idiotically funny that it's literally unwritable. Like, no one can write a joke like this and believe anyone would actually say that the first time. Like, you'd have to be there to believe this man just said what he said. Because then my next question is, like, how did you have the story and not tell me sooner? We're friends. 2 months, your cabinets open by themselves on an unexplained force, and you tell no one? What a freak. Anyway, so we do go there, right? And we all hang out. I leave that night. He calls me at 3 o'clock in the morning. He says something ran up his steps. And he would have ignored that, but his father called him right after something ran up the steps, said, did you just run up the steps, to his son? He said, I did not. And then, well, it went like this. There was a running up his steps, and then something fell on his floor, and it sounded like it dragged across the floor. So obviously he believed if it was a person, the next only logical place they'd go was the attic, because they went upstairs, and then the highest next point would be the attic if they're not in the downstairs. Down, upstairs, whatever. So he calls me up 3 o'clock in the morning and goes, hey, this is what happened. And he tells me the story I just told you. And he goes, I don't know what to do. I'm going to go up there, but if I don't call you back in 5 minutes, just show up, I guess. I don't know. I guess you just make them go away. I don't know how it works, right?
He's like, Ghostbusters.
He's like, you're the only thing I know that does something. Like, just show up, and maybe I'm safe. I don't know. So, and then he ends up calling me back in 5 minutes. Nothing happens. We're all good. So that story's all the way. Now, the reason why we said that side story is because this same friend, make it all make sense again, did heroin. He actually took a lot of money from me growing up, and I just mean saved kid money. Who knows how much I saved? That was actually a big saver. I didn't like spending my birthday money, anything like that, and it was fine. At the end of the day, even when he stole that money, I didn't blame him or get mad, actually. What I did was I did a whole speech where, the villain speech, and the villain speech I do, which is the first time I ever did it with him, is that no one's the villain in their story. Right? And you're not going to help someone convincing them otherwise. Right? When he stole that from me, of course I could have gotten mad. Of course I could have blamed him beyond repair and called him a piece of shit like society probably ended up doing. Right? But what I did instead was, hey, man, you need somebody right now. Because I know his mother wasn't there for him. I raised him so he needed someone. And I said, I'm still, just because you can't look at yourself in the mirror, that you can't believe you did this to me, doesn't mean I feel the same way. It doesn't mean we can't get past this and I can't help you. Now, he ended up not being able to live with the fact that he did what he did with me, so he did create distance and he just did more heroin. My speech wasn't enough. There's nothing I could do. I wish there was, and I even came back to him again after he got out of jail and told him this, and I gave him another speech of endearment and told him, we can right all the wrongs you think you did, pay back all the people if you want to pay them. I'll be here for you once again. Still, I mean, I did it as many, and that was years later. I mean, that had to have been like 5 years from that point. And I went back and tried again, you know? But still, I mean,
I would imagine that maybe he just didn't want to let you down.
It's possible.
Because that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's an audience. I mean, you're his audience. And believe me, I have people in my life that have struggled. And the struggle lasts as long as the audience lasts. And one of them was my brother. And my brother, you know, my dad was, you know, tried to fix my brother. He was there for my brother. He was... You know, no matter what, he kept hanging in there with my brother because my brother was full of a bunch of fucking bullshit lies. And my dad believed him because he was a father. And until my dad finally said, you know what, I'm done. We're done. I don't care anymore. Don't write me. Don't call me. Don't come to my house. We're done. 50 years of effort into you is enough. And my brother laid on the porch and fucking kicked and screamed for a while and then walked off and got sober. But as long as people are an audience for people like that, then they still hang in there.
It's a give. It's actually a give and take to this audience, this enabler thing. You have to enable, and then at some point let go of that enabling, so it actually matters when it cuts ties. Because if your father, he could have put less time in for sure, but if he would have put in somewhere in the middle of that time frame, then the same result would have happened, but less work. But it's hard to know what that work entails, especially when you're just living with your circumstances and not seeing the bigger picture. Because I'll give you
an working with the addict.
No, yeah. So helping, being supportive to any person, addict or otherwise, being supportive and helping them get through, right? And then logically deducing what you've done and when enough is enough, and then seeing if they can float or sink. Because you have to know when to let go. It's just like, honestly. It's funny. Dealing with a problem...
I see, we'll disagree.
Well, it's funny. Dealing with a problem is just like raising a child. a child is the same exact thing. You have to give them your support all the way up until you're ready to let them go or they're ready to let you go. See, some fathers don't let go. They get let go of. And sometimes the kid has to make the bigger move. Because at the end of the day, to grow, you need to let go of your closest relationships at some point. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll give you the opposite perspective because you were maybe you think I'm a helper because I don't want to confuse you.
You know.
So in that particular sense, I seem like a saint. Helping that guy no matter what, even though he stole my money, whatever. I am not a saint. I had another friend. He talked about suicide. He said, I want to kill myself. I came from that whole thing, right? I know how I got over it. And he said it enough. He said it a couple times here and there. Did he overuse it? No, of course he didn't. But he said it one too many times that I wanted to hear it. I said, listen, man, I'm done with that. He said, what do you mean? I said, if you want to kill yourself, like, which way do you want to go? I'll help you out. Like if that's what you want your desire to be, I'm not messing around with you. You tell me what you want, and we're going to get it done. I was like, so either say do it or don't do it. I'm not going to fit in between here.
Right?
Like, that's, I'm just not going to. And I fit, and I have friends spanning the entire middle ground of to help someone die or to help someone live or face their demons. I wasn't always, but I've become to be a very neutral being. I don't know how to tell. I don't believe in good or evil. I don't believe in right or wrong. And I don't believe in crazy or insane. I don't believe in any of those notions. I don't believe in bad luck or good luck. I don't believe in any of these things full-heartedly. Now, all these things are elements of truth, but all of these things can be perspective around. See, good is whatever we could have. We could skip the actual details. We could talk about. You could tell. Say something right now. You could think of the most evilest thing you wanted to.
Well, listen. I want to make sure we talk about this
spirit.
You know, this, well, the mushrooms and
let's
the,
get
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, let's get to
let's,
because
let's get to. I agree with you.
I believe people that need help need to be helped by people that are in that.
So
same
kind I think
of thing.
We talked enough to establish the thing I needed to establish, which was I am neutral.
He's neutral. I like that.
That's what I needed to establish. That's what this whole before talking about the trip, I am a neutral and I was as neutral from those experiences and I was an opened individual, meaning I didn't want to turn away from any type of thing that would come my way.
Okay.
So now let's get into the next part. So
you're open to everything.
Yes. So another thing I did was I didn't do any drugs other than I might have smoked like 2 Black & Milds through the span of. 10
cigars.
10 to 27, maybe like 2, and not even completely, just puffed on them. And then I also did at 10, I did weed, right? Those are my full things up to 25, actually. That would be more accurate. So
is
I'm 20.
Is weed a drug?
Hey, look, 10 to 25.
Okay.
I guess food's a drug, right? I mean, what do you?
Well, I think
it can be. I mean, you know,
absolutely.
Sugar. So I think everything can be a drug. I mean, everything's an addiction at the end of the day, right? Everything you do, your podcast. If you overdo it and don't grow outside of this, it's an addiction.
It's funny because the first step in any program is we admitted we were powerless over whatever, and our lives have become unmanageable. I always say it's we admitted we were powerless over whatever, and our lives have become unmanageable to everybody else. Because honestly, we'd have probably kept eating donuts until finally someone said stop. You know, it's become unmanageable. Go ahead.
Okay, so I have two blacks and some weed from 10 to 25.
Black and mild.
Black and mild, yeah. And now I was the whole changing the world thing. Well, my group, because as a young in high school, whatever, I didn't just make friends, but those friends had associates in the numbers. And those friends were also part of the organization that would, when ready, change the world. Well, they weren't doing so hot. They, you know, they wouldn't do anything. You know, the one that wanted to die wouldn't die. The one that wanted to lose weight wouldn't lose weight. The one that wanted to do whatever wouldn't do whatever. And then if they did that, they half-assed it and then went back into another thing they did or didn't want to do. Right? Very confusing. No one seems to want to do anything with any kind of support or lack thereof support. Because sometimes I give them years and they do nothing. Or I give them money and they do nothing, or I give them time and they do nothing, or I end the friendship and I have, and then they do nothing. I mean, it's insane. It was like I couldn't figure out in the sea of endless actions how to make someone do something. Now, what was that something in particular? It was to think. Think more than anyone ever has in this world. Not a textbook you can read, not a place you can go. To think philosophy on such a level that it literally breaks the very foundation of the earth that we live on. There's not a book to describe what we think about and how we thought about it, or at the very least, what I came to conclusions of. And I was trying to get them to hang with me, and they couldn't. So I needed to do something else. And that's when these psychedelics come into play. It was time. Okay. 25 came. They said your brain matures at 25, which I found out is not true. There's different variances all the way to like 40 and higher. There's a whole list. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm still maturing.
Yeah, I didn't know. But the point is, whatever. It seemed like good enough time. So I said, okay, let's give it a shot. So first, let's go back to the negative friend. We get some shrooms, and he's first up on the truck, on the block. So he does about, I don't really know how you do, 4.5 grams? Is it by grams? Is that what you, what is the, I think it's how it works. I think it's by grams. So
you get mushrooms, I mean, you can weigh it.
Yeah, I think he's 3.5 grams was what he did. I said 4.5, but
I can tell you, I've done mushrooms, and it was just like, here, take these. It was just like a couple stems and a couple caps. There was no weight, it was just eat it.
I got you. So so I got 7 grams, and then I split them between two, so it was 3.5 and 3.5. First person up.
That's a lot.
3.5. That was a good starting point. They said five to seven is a lot. They said
five to 7 grams in one ingestion.
Am I saying it right? What is the other measurements of?
I'm not. I think is so are we talking about microdosing? Are we talking about like? Or are we just talking about going on a trip?
No, these people like literally like eating mushrooms.
Yeah, so sure,
3.5 grams.
I don't know. I mean a couple grams. That's a.
Yeah,
I'm not very educated.
Mushrooms. I'm not either. Let's just stay away from the non-expertise.
Well, I took them and they were just too much, man. I mean, they're fun, but it lasts way too long, and I'm just
they last for about 5 hours or more. Okay, so now this is important detail. So now again, I'm a thinker. The first person to do them was one person, not right. two, just him, and he had blindfolds on, and we made sure that he had earplugs in his ears. He sat in the middle of the floor. Me and the silent friend sat on the left and right side on couches in case anything would happen, and we just sat there and let him be in his head for 2 hours.
Wow.
And then he would laugh and do things in his own head, whatever, and we told him if we would let him know when 2 hours was up, and then because I guess the height of the period of doing it's supposed to be like 2 to 3 hours, and then there's like a down trot from it for like 2 to 3 hours. So I wanted to make sure that during the down trot, he took the blindfolds off and we started talking. And I had my notes ready to write down what he said, and that way he could learn from whatever it is he found out. So that's what happens. He's in there.
So you didn't write down. You see, if you were a good scientist, you would have written down the exact amount that you'd given him.
I'm pretty sure it's 3.5 because I'll tell you why it's. But anyway, I'm pretty sure.
I'm just kind of kidding, but you know. Yeah. It's obviously.
I know the person that knows what the number is, which is good enough for me. So he goes and he does and he it goes in there. So when he finally takes his blindfold off, he's not negative. I mean, it blows my mind.
Right.
He lost his negativity.
So it says up here, for shrooms, a low dose starts at 0.5 to 2 grams.
Okay, there we go. Now
2 to 4 grams considered a full dose. 2 to 4 grams considered a full dose. Everything above is considered a heroic dose. Okay, only recommended for very experienced psychonauts. Choose accordingly depending on your experience with psychedelics.
So 3.5. Yeah, it was 3.5. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, so that's 2 to 4 grams is considered a dose.
Yeah, so what's going to get really interesting then, because you'll see where when it comes to my turn. So anyway, this friend that's been negative his whole life is now not negative, right? I mean, he's saying all the things that he would say if he didn't have any negative brain. Now, as this trip wears down, he feels himself going back into his body. Mm. He says it's disgusting. He said he could feel his skin again. And here's the funny part about
it. I call that self.
So this is the funniest part about his experience. He can't remember what he just said. Now, I wrote down everything in notes, so we got to talk about it. But he can't remember. It was like it was a dream to him. Like, even though he was just right there, like, he came off of it. Now, that was very strange to me, but it was all noted. All I can do is note it, because now it's the second person's turn, Mr. Quiet. Right. So Mr. Quiet goes next. He's laying in the middle of the floor. Now, Mr. Quiet doesn't do the same thing as the first guy. So Mr. Quiet, he's like, oh, no, I don't want to. Like, he's starting to see. He's one with art. He's not an artist. He doesn't do that for a living, but he likes to draw. And he has the own personal quest to making something that, whatever it is, I don't know, cool. Artists are weird. And he's starting to see paintings he hates. He's like, I hate these paintings. I don't know why I'm seeing them right now. I don't like them. I don't like them one bit. He's saying that as he has the blindfolds and he's just like, sorry about that. He said, I hate these paintings. hate him. I hate this. I'm about to take the blindfold if I don't like it. So he doesn't last the full 2 hours under. He lasts about an hour, maybe under. So he starts getting up. He goes, takes a shower.
Yeah.
Marks on the fact that the trailer that I lived in at the time was very shitty. And he's like, how did you grow up here? Your life was trash. I'm like, oh, thanks. You know. Anyway, and he's just excited. He wants to go outside, but he also doesn't want to go outside because it's hot, but it's cold. He's all over the place.
Right.
You know, but this man is different than the first guy. The first guy was a thinker. The second guy was more of a man of action and not thoughts.
Right.
One thought a lot more and the other was more of action. So now he finally settles down and he's sitting down and I'm saying, okay, let's ask some questions. Or actually a lot of them, I think some of them wrote out their questions and then I asked them to them. They wanted me to ask them questions when they were in whatever state they were in. So I don't know if he wrote down any questions. And if he did, they didn't really matter at the end of the day. But he did end up talking and he said, I'm sorry. And I said, what are you sorry for? He said, I'm a selfish piece of shit. And I was like, yeah, I thought you knew that. Like, and he was like, no, I didn't. He's like, I really am just not nice. Now, he is not the worst person ever.
Of course.
Not at all. He's always there for you. But he can be not nice about it. Like, if you call him up, man, do you really? Like he's going to be there. But he might just be a super dick about in the way in which the words he uses or the lack there of words he uses to show up.
Yeah.
Right? And he was seeing that in the moment. He was just like, he's like, where? And the first thing he says is, where was this shit in high school? He said, I could have been a whole different person. Like, whatever. Now, his trip's interesting. His trip lasts the same amount of time as everybody else's. But his mindset lasts for 2 weeks. So he is on this non-selfish, very motivated to do things kick for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then he goes back to being the selfish guy that he was.
Sure.
So now it's my turn. So opinions are divided. They're like, if so far we're looking, it's what you put in is what you get. So we're like, either Damien, which is me, is gonna freaking float in the air, or nothing's going to happen. So I'm concerned about the second one. I'm scared that nothing will happen. So I take that 3.5 and I do 7.
Oh.
And as I feared, nothing does occur.
The heroic dose.
So I take 7, and what happens is my eyes are dilated, of course. We can all see that my eyes are dilated, right? But nothing is occurring to me. Other than the fact that I'm thinking faster. I can note that. So what I mean is nothing's happening is I'll explain exactly what did happen to me. I thought faster, and my eyes were wider. And every so often, something would glitch. Like that. That's it. Like people's body movements would just move. Like if you were watching a TV screen and you know you watched it and it wasn't like the best quality and it just, you know, every so often a glitch happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically all it. And this is what it looked like when I was talking to them. Was it my turn to talk? I asked questions, but I didn't. So what I would sound like this. I was like, look, guys, I just think, no, that won't work. Okay, what about, no. And they're like, you know you're not talking to us, right? I said, yeah, I have all the variables. I've grew up with you guys my whole life. I know what you're going to say. I was like, isn't it crazy right now that I can see every single thing about all that we are and I can't figure out an effing thing to do? I have this thought process that is going miles a minute and I'm just stuck because you two are you two. I was like, I mean, no offense. I was like, we should just go. I told him, in that moment, I said, we should leave. We should just go. We should just expose ourselves to the world. And both of them couldn't, for whatever the reasons were. The one person said yes, the negative one, but he said it negatively. Like, yeah, of course I'll go. I was like, that guy doesn't. He's not saying he wants to go. He's just saying he doesn't want to go. He just do anything.
What do you think?
And the other guy is like, I can't. Money, blah, 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 circumstances, you know.
You know, I call that self, right? You know, there's like, when I, you know, if I want to try to do something, there's always this voice. It's like, yeah, don't do it. You won't be good at it. Don't even bother. You know, but like I, you know, and whether it's a mushroom, I do it through running. You know, I'm a big runner.
I can get pretty euphoric, man.
Yeah. So you kind of self takes a trip, self sets out the run. And all of a sudden this, the real spirit in me is like, you know, I always say on a run, I become a poet. I become a script writer. I become a musician.
This is going to be important.
And so all this stuff, you know, gets exposed and self takes a backseat to it. But once I finish the run and, you know, wind it back down, self starts to show back up and starts to be that voice. It's like, I wouldn't do it. You won't be good at it. You know, podcasting. I'm like, you know, whether I'm good at it or not, but the voice, there was definitely a voice that said, don't do podcasting. You're not going to be good.
Yeah, there always is, right?
Yeah, and you push through it. And, you know, there's this new kind of belief about microdosing with mushrooms. And I, you know, I love the experiment. It's a great experiment, and I think it proves exactly that, that, you know, we're self people.
Well, 2 years later, because I didn't get anything out of it, and this is not what made me what I am now, I had to up the ante. So I found out about DMT.
Yeah, well, that's okay. So, and I want to, yeah, can we just say one thing? Because, so DMT, and I've, you know, I've watched a bunch of podcasts on this. Mm-hmm. Joe Rogan's big into DMT. You know, it's almost to me like, and I just kind of went through this. You know, my mom passed away last October, and she had been, she got something called giant cell arteritis, which was a disease that attacked all the fine, you know, the vascular system, first of her eyes and then of her brain. And when it was attacking and she was going through this, she started to have dementia. First she went blind, and then she started to have dementia. And I remember going over to the hospital and sitting with her. And this is when it first started. And she's like, look at all the people. And I'm like, I don't see any people. And she goes, they're all right here. My mom's like, there are people right here. I see them. I can't see their faces. They have like hoods or something. And she goes, and there's animals. A dog just walked under the bed. And I'm like, you know, and I feel like there's this other dimension, you know, quantum mechanics. You know, mechanical figure or quantum mechanic shows that there's dimensions, you know. Mathematically, there are other dimensions.
Correct. So science actually goes right now is leading with, I think, multiverse theory. It's one of them. Yeah, I think
and
it's
we can't
strong
see it. And I feel like there's part of our brain that keeps us into this dimension.
Correct.
And as my mom was going through this, and unfortunately, like I said, she passed, but I felt like it was that part of her brain that allowed her to stay just in this dimension was being attacked, and it allowed her to see other dimensions. And my friend Julie Fisher, she's like, those are called dementites. You know, it's this whole thing. And mushrooms, my experience with mushrooms when I did them was just like lights and kind of, you know, this kind of psychedelic. But DMT. DMT, it seems like almost like a keyway or opens up the lock that allows us to see into other dimensions. Where I'm not sure that that's what mushrooms do.
So we'll get back to that.
Okay.
Because running is going to matter in a second, too. Yeah. Eventually. I mean, second is
best
not.
Best drug I've ever done.
Yeah. So now DMT. So what happens is I'm trying to find it. And that's why it takes about 2 years off the shroom thing. That's why it ends up being around when I'm... So I said I did the shrooms at like 25. So that's why I end up doing the DMT until like 26, 27. So it takes me like a year to 2 years to figure it out or to find how to get it, get a hold of it. So now I finally have it and I'm scared. I'm scared. The same reason I was scared the first time. See, the shroom thing was scary for me, whether or not you guys would. Yes, nothing happened. But the thing is I'm scared of how open my mind is.
So you took 7 grams of mushrooms and nothing happened?
Nothing other than what I just told you. No, nothing occurred other than faster thinking.
That's crazy.
So the reason why I'm so scared, generally speaking, is because I am not unaware that I have an open mind. And that means that if everything is real, all dimensions, if there's multiple dimensions, that means the thing that's holding you from all those dimensions is the fact that you were born the way you were born. If you break that barrier too fast, well, that means you're going to be exposed to everything at once. Whether there's dimensions or not, whatever everything is, I don't care if that is that there is no dimensions, it's just that the world is layered. And we're here, but there's also demons right here too, but we're just not, it's layered. You see what I'm saying? So we just can't see
dimensions.
Them. Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's just a different way of looking. Yes. However, whatever, either way. Right. No matter how you think about whatever it is, or even if there's no dimensions and there's only God's always floating in the sky above the clouds. But until you break this barrier, then you can see through the clouds and you can see all the gods. I don't care. I don't know. Right. The point is that there's a lot of things we don't know. That's the key. The key is we just don't know whatever it is. Right. So.
Well, you know, and tell me what you think about this. Yeah. But, you know, like if you study quantum mechanics, people that study it, mm-hmm. one of the weird things about quantum mechanics is that it changes its behavior when being observed.
It's random. Is that what you're talking about? My friend was talking about how the particles, they're truly random. They go in and out of existence.
Well, it's like it's hard to study quantum mechanics because when you get in there, it behaves differently when under observation. And I'm like, well, this sounds like a fucking human. And because that's how humans are. You know, when I talk to you and I'm observing you, a lot of the times, knowing that we're being observed, we will behave differently than when we are not being observed or not knowingly being observed. And it sounded, it reminded me of like quantum mechanics. It's like when being observed, the whatever it is behaves differently.
That is going to be very interesting for me to figure out at a different time.
Yes.
Thanks for bringing up quantum mechanics. I can go somewhere with that.
Dude, I love that stuff.
So
I love that shit.
But to continue on this.
Go ahead.
So I finally have it, and I'm like I said, I'm scared that when I do it, that I won't return. That because everybody, you know, everyone that's talked about it, they go somewhere. Like it's a, I mean, maybe it's just in their mind, but I'm not one to believe that it's just the mind. That maybe they did leave. Like maybe their body was there and everybody observed that, but who says that we have to be stuck to our body, right? Like who says what the rules are? So I'm just a little scared, you know? Right. And so I don't do it for a while, even though I have access to it. And eventually my one friend, he kisses the dirt that DMT walks on, right? I mean, it's a root, I guess. So
how do you say ayahuasca? Because it is a root.
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
Yeah, that's one of the variants.
So there's that, and now they figured out how to basically put it in a pill form, right? Or even vape.
I don't know about that. We had to smoke it. So what happened was, He convinced me. I was saying he walks the ground that this walks on. Like all the stuff he read about it, he just really thinks, and he's an open-minded individual, not in the sense of logic, but like the possibility. So he's all like, yeah, like this stuff right here is how you're going to like evolve. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I don't know, man, that's a possibility. Like that's all I'm saying, you know? And he was like, oh, how about this? How about we meet in the middle? How about I lace this blunt here with some DMT. We put it right there in the middle. Most of it will just burn out. We'll make it... Sorry about that. I went in front of the mic for a second. We'll put it right here in the middle, and most of it will burn if you even smoke it right, and it'll be what it'll be. You know? I was like, yeah, that makes sense. He was like, so let's do it. Because actually, burning that type of DMT is not the best thing to do. You don't direct heat it. What you do is actually when you're regularly smoking it, you put it in a pipe, and then you melt that pipe, and now it's in the pipe. Like, you'll see the DMT melt, but it's still in there, so you just keep lighting it until it turns into vape form.
Okay, right.
You know, because if you don't, like, let's say that you did light it, and then you didn't get any smoke, and then you stopped, you would see all of the melted thing reappear when it got cold again. So you just need to keep, yeah. So this is a very inefficient way to use your DMT.
Right.
Okay. So. Let me just check something. I'm trying to see if I have this back and forth between thing, because I think it'll be... I did save it. I guess I saved it just for this thing. So these guys bought a bunch of DMT, and then they threw it all over their blunt. This kid did. And fortunately, there was like a group of kids, so they all just kind of did it separately. And this was a big blunt, and it was a lot of DMT. Very dumb. But he said he was dumb, but he didn't know. As soon as I exhaled, the room started shaking like this is what he said, by the way, in case anyone's confused. Started shaking like a 10.0 earthquake hit. And it looked like I was looking through a kaleidoscope, and it was all green. Then time and space crumbled before your very eyes, and you traveled to a place where the universe is soul untangible energy. But it's so real, it's like it's physical. I remembered talking to something about evolution, and I felt like I knew the answers to everything and anything. Then you forget everything right away.
Yeah.
So, now
and
me.
And it lasts, what, like 15, 20 minutes?
It doesn't last long at all, but this is where it gets interesting for me. So now I go, yes, and I do this DMT with this weed. And so I smoke it, and I don't have experience. Remember, the last time I did weed, smoking it was 10 years old. So he tells me, look, man, hold it as long as possible and hold it in your lungs. I think that was a bad idea. So I held. Now, he thought I was just going to cough, because most people, that's what they do when they're first smoking. He told me what to do. I did it. I held it in, and I held it in for a long time. I held it in so long, actually, I felt like my lungs actually burned. I felt like they were frying up at the top. I don't know if they were or not. It just didn't feel great. So my throat burned. So I ran to the sink, whatever. I smoked the little section, because I didn't have to smoke the whole blunt, and I didn't. I just smoked my section. He smoked it up to the section, and then he smoked maybe after the section, whatever. So then I ran to the sink, spit out all the nasty, just blunt. I mean, everybody doesn't think it's nasty, but people don't spit. I just don't like the burnt thing in my throat. So I'm just spitting out, and I'm drinking water, trying to get it all out, and eventually I walk back to him. Now, as I'm walking in the hallway, I can feel that I'm a little light, right? But in my experience of doing those two black and milds and the weed, I know that weed does the same thing. You get a little, you know, like sea leggish. So I'm just walking back to the room. I sit down on the bed and I go, and I just sit there. And he goes, so what are you feeling? I said, honestly, man, nothing. He said, you got to be fucking kidding me. What is wrong with you? That was DMT. He said, man, are you sure? Now, this is an interesting thing. He asked me, was I sure? I'm not sure of anything ever at any given point. So because he asked me that question, it made me consider, was I sure? At that very moment, the room I was in became a metaphor. Again, nothing changes for me. I don't get any crazy-ass experience as far as hallucinogenics is not my thing. The room becomes a metaphorical prison that I designed. Now, this prison goes me wherever I walk. His room wasn't a prison that I couldn't escape. It's the box that I create. See, the thing was about changing the world. I wanted to make sure that the world that I was changing fit in my four squares. That everything that could happen, I would be able to be some sort of prepared for it. That way the people that entrusted me to change the world didn't regret it. That they didn't die in vain. That they didn't live in vain. Either way, that anything I did was, I knew it was the right answer. Now, I thought I didn't know anything though. But the room showed me very quickly that is something I thought that I did believe at the time. I don't believe this anymore, but that was one of my problems. My problem is that maybe I didn't believe in any particular thing or any particular way in which to change the world, but I did believe in making sure that my friends were safe, that they weren't going to be affected by whatever variables were to come my way.
Yeah.
And
so you didn't feel anything from it.
So, no. So then it gets even more interesting. So then I relax. So then I see that, and what I realize is I realize something from this later. But I start to fall back all by myself. I don't feel like I'm doing it. Like I feel like I'm going like this, and I'm like, and as I talk to the friend in front of me, I'm like, hey man, this is weird. And as I talk, it makes me go back upwards, and I'm like, okay, so I have to relax to go backwards. Okay, I see. I'm like, okay, I get this. Okay, I'm gonna be out for a while, and I lay back. Now I'm in this state. I can see a yellow body. Everything about me is a human body. It's the projection of myself. And it's just yellow, though. It's not like, it's a shape of a body. And at the tail end, instead of legs, there's a tornado. Not like a real tornado. Just a yellow tornado. Like a diagram look like this, I guess. Stick, person, instead of legs, it would come down to a point. Right. Just like that.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. So the whole thing, this yellow being, is scribbled with red. It's all scribbled with red. Right, so I start to work this little red thread down, and it's my past. It's everything. Now, it didn't take me long to work through it because I didn't feel bad about it to begin with. I just saw what my mom did here and how I forgave her, and I just worked this red string all the way down. And then, and I can't even remember everything I thought about because it was so unconscious. To the beginning, I remember the first two thoughts that I just shared with you, but from there, I don't remember. I just know that I was able to work through the red string. And the red string was more important than I realized. The red string is you. It doesn't have to be red. It could be anything. But a string is you. And the yellow is everything. Everything, not you. It can be you, but it's everything. Everything around us. Every atom. And the reason why I say this is because this is what happens next. Now that I work through this red string, and I'll spare the details of the entire process of working through the red string, I'm now just sitting there, and the room is yellow. There's no longer that thing. I am now yellow, and I am leaving my body yellow, wow. Right? So everything's very yellow. My friend makes a noise, coughs, whatever. In that moment, I realize that I have friends. I forgot that I had friends. In fact, I think when I raised the string, I forgot everything about anything that was anything. And him making that noise made me realize why I was even doing this to begin with. The whole reason what I was tripping, the whole reason why I went down this whole thing was to figure out what we had to do next. If there was nirvana, that I could take not just my friend, but everybody in the world to nirvana. That if nirvana was the place to be, if it was the place to be, I would get us all there and then I would be the last one to enter. Just so the whole world, because what I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anyone here.
Yeah, but do you think everybody wants to go to Nirvana?
No, I don't.
This is what you were, but...
That's what we were just saying. Okay. Nirvana was a placeholder. Whatever the answer was, right? Now, there isn't just one answer. That's the problem. And that's kind of what you were hinting at, and I've realized this myself now. So, but that was what we were going for. And that's why I got back up. So now I lift back up. Now I'm in the upright position. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go back down. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, no, 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 dude. I was like, I didn't, in that state, I was going to leave, but I didn't know how. Like, I can't share that with you, so I don't have enough. Well, see, things are getting weird now. Now, as I talk to him, I start to lean forward. Every time the more words I speak, and I speak pretty fast. Oh, yeah, I forgot I have a mic here. So I speak pretty fast. And it doesn't matter how fast I talk. It just matters how much words I come out. So if I speak really, the more logical I am being, the closer I get to the ground. And the ground, when my eyes are closed, is black. So the color of going down is black. And I am like, and I can feel the weight. I mean, it literally actually feels like gravity is crushing me into the ground when I'm leaning forward, right? Now, of course, I don't ever explore this process,
right?
Right. I make sure that I go back into center, and I just know that I have to do something else to talk to him. And so now I become autistic, to every sense of the word. The way I speak has to start being, I start shaking, but the shaking, everything I'm doing has a purpose. I look autistic, but I know why I'm doing it, right?
So what's autistic look like?
So there's many different variances of autism, obviously.
Right.
So the one I'm particularly talking about is the people that at times can say sentences, but also you'll see them shaking like this, right? Like
rocking back and
you'll
forth.
See them rocking back and forth. You'll see them doing weird repeat patterns, right? And now I don't know why they do that, right? But in the moment I was using it, I know why I was doing it. I'm not saying that they use it the same way I did. So I'm using autism to relate to what happened to me, not to say that I was officially autistic. I'm not trying to offend any autistic people.
Right.
Okay, so, or the people that want to be offended for the autistic people. Stay in your lane. Okay, so now I am trying to figure out how to make sure I can talk to him, but not go too far in any direction, because now there's more than one direction. See, there's not just down and there's back. There's also, if I start to be too arrogant, there's up, and that is white. Like literally I rose upwards.
Black down, white up, yellow body.
Yellow is back. It's like white, except it's not white. It's elevation upwards. It's just not elevation upwards.
Listen, we're gonna have to do another podcast.
Okay, that's
because
fine.
this is gonna have to be a two-parter because this is.
I anticipated that. So
yeah, fortunately and unfortunately, I've got to do another podcast. But
sorry.
But this is all. I mean, I love this stuff, and it's kind of interesting to listen to you because as a young person, you know, how will you feel about this in 5 years? How will you feel about this in 10 years? How will you feel about this in, you know, when you're in your 50s, you know, it's this, you know, and I come from the side, it's like, I need this struggle. I need to live this shitty existence at some point. I need to grind through this stuff. You know, when you talk about like going to Nirvana and it's like.
Well, there's Gehenna too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So if Gehenna's for you, you know.
No, but I'm just saying like, you know, it's constantly this battle between humility and self, right? You know,
right.
And when self is there, it's hard to get anything done. When humility shows up, self takes a quick right turn and lets humility have its time. But it's constantly that battle, heaven and hell, the devil or a higher power. And, you know, but I didn't learn about this stuff until I got older. I didn't learn about this till I tackled on the struggle with alcohol that I had. And running, you know, running is a drug. You know, there's...
Oh, it is. No, we'll get to... In the next... In the next edition of Damien and Tom.
Damien and Tom, are you spirited?
We'll definitely get to that.
So we'll post this, and we'll have you back. You know, whenever you want to come back,
sounds like we'll have
you back next week, and we'll pick this up. And because I do, you know, I mean, I am interested. There's.
Well, yeah, this hasn't gotten to the crazy part yet, right, so it's going to be a lot funner.
Well, stay tuned. We'll have you back. We'll come back next week, and we'll do it again. You know, I'll do a little more research in some of this DMT, and I won't do it. But one day I do. I want to try it.
Yeah, okay.
Because I've heard just this. But then I also am trying to figure out, why do I need to?
It's a fair point, man. You always have to ask yourself the questions.
Well, listen, brother. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're wild. I love it.
Yeah,
I know. You're just the person that I need for my spirited podcast. All right, brother. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.